Life Takes Guts with Nidhi Swaroop. Hear from a mother caring for a child with ulcerative colitis in Singapore. Koh B. Man, mother of a daughter with IBD. Her eldest daughter started with severe eczema at 2 years of age and then at 4 years of age.
Hi, Biman.
Hi.
Thank you.
Hi, Nidhi.
Thank you for joining us. A very warm welcome to you at our podcast. It's titled Life Takes Guts with Nidhi Swaroop. So a very warm welcome to you to our show.
Glad to be here.
So today we will talk about your daughter who was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. But as a parent, maybe you can share with us, how did the journey start with any kind of medical condition? Just share with us how the whole thing started. Yeah.
All right. My daughter was born in year 2009. At about 2 years old, she started having very severe eczema. And then right about 2013, that was about 4+ years old, from the eczema situation, constantly applied. She was constantly taking topical steroids and all that. That was really one difficult medical condition to deal with. And then in 2013, she started having this strange fever and runny nose that didn't go away. And so we took her to the GP a lot. And then my husband noticed that her stomach was bloated. So the GP decided to take a look and press the tummy. And then he noticed that there was a lump or swelling at the abdominal area. And so he said that, oh, this is not normal. We must send her straight away to the A&E to get it investigated. Yeah, because it could be tumor, it could be anything, right? So the doctor ran a lot of tests on her, so they ruled out cancer, leukemia and all that. And then they did the autoimmune panel, then they found out that it was inflammation of the liver. So the liver has grown bigger because it was inflamed.
And
so
this
normal
is when
people
is
about
4+ yeah, at 4.
Yeah, so that one, the treatment was through oral steroids to bring down the inflammation of the liver, because this illness, if it's not managed, the liver will be scarred. So scarred liver means you have, you know, bad liver function, and liver takes care of all the major processes in the body. So it'll be very bad lah. And then you need liver transplant. The doctor got to bring down the inflammation by giving her oral steroids, then tried immunosuppressants. So the treatment is quite similar to IBD.
So the diagnosis is autoimmune disease.
Hepatitis. Yeah.
So it's called hepatitis of
autoimmune.
Autoimmune hepatitis. Because when we hear as lay people, we only know hepatitis A, B, you know, in that way.
Those are caused by virus. So this one is the body's immune system not functioning properly and is attacking its own liver cells. Quite similar to IBD lah. It's still attacking the liver cell. IBD is attacking the gut lah.
Okay, yeah, the digestive tract gets affected.
Yes,
so in this case,
yes,
it's the liver that got affected and
yes,
it leads to inflammation. Yeah.
Yes.
So other than bloating, was there any other symptom that she was experiencing?
Some people experience jaundice, the yellowing of the eyes and the skin. But she didn't have these symptoms lah. So thank goodness lah. Because when you have yellowing eyes and darker urine, that means very serious already. Even worse.
So this was like a early diagnosis.
So thankfully lah, she had runny nose and all that fever at the same time. So we discovered it incidentally. Yeah, because we were checking her for the cough and runny nose and all that doesn't go away. Then it just so happened then we discovered we had this other big problem, bigger problem. So thank God it was all the right timing lah.
Okay. So There is medication to manage the
Yes, long-term medication as well.
Okay, so these are steroids or what kind of medication
or,
was
oral
used?
steroids and then immunosuppressants like isothiopurine or that.
Okay,
yeah.
So that was started when she's 4 years old.
4 plus, yeah.
And there were changes in her diet at that time had to be made?
So
or?
Back then, so I would make it more healthy, like home-cooked food, gluten-free diet.
Okay.
Yeah, then we took her
So
to
these were.
traditional Chinese medicine also.
Oh, you tried that also.
We tried,
Okay.
but it doesn't.
It doesn't help, is it?
Doesn't
Okay.
really help, lah.
Okay. So there was guidance from the dietitian in the hospital regarding this management.
Yes. They would give some special formula. To boost her growth, and then the
Mm-hmm.
protein is easier to digest because the
Mm-hmm.
liver is not functioning so well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that one took quite a while to recover for the liver to shrink back to normal size, and then the liver enzymes to come down to almost normal. It was still mildly elevated even today, but the doctor just checked for trend. As long as it's not trending worse and it's pretty close to normal, good to
Okay.
go.
So it took about how many months, you would say, to kind of manage the inflammation of the liver?
At least 1 to 2 years, I think.
1 to 2 years of tweaking of medication. So I would imagine she was still in kindergarten, 4 to 6 years of age.
Yeah, so
She
she stopped schooling, lah.
She stopped.
Yeah, because she was catching infections so easily from the steroids and all that.
Immunosuppressants and steroids would lead
Ah.
to, because it would suppress the immune system and then the body becomes more susceptible to infections, yeah?
Yes.
So, okay, so you had her at home and you were caring for, oh wow.
Yes.
So no kindergarten, no childcare,
No.
nothing like that. How about your social life at that time?
Social life, we kept it normal, as normal as possible.
Okay.
We didn't isolate ourselves or what. Otherwise,
Yes.
it would be very traumatizing
Very
for her. So
difficult.
we need to keep life as normal as possible. Like, we go to church regularly, then we keep going. We visit our in-laws, they place with your
Family.
cousin and grandparents. So we keep
Okay.
that up regularly. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So this went on for about 2 years, and after 2 years, it's kind of under control.
Yes. Then she was ready for
Then she,
primary one, lah.
primary school. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I would imagine. So then it was all as per normal, starting primary school, or
Yeah,
was
I
there?
think.
I mean, I'm just imagining, do the school teachers have to be briefed that the child has this condition?
Yes. So when you go to school, normally they will ask you to fill up a medical form. So you just inform them that the child has this condition.
Okay.
Yeah, and then what she's not to eat, especially during field trips. Sometimes teachers may provide food. Yeah.
Yeah, but okay. So that is primary school starts, and then she's able to function even when it comes to sports and other activities, because there will be some co-curricular activities in the school. So is
Yeah,
she
she was
able to
functioning
do?
normally. All the
Okay.
daily activities was okay.
As per normal. Fantastic.
Yes,
That's so
yes,
nice
yes.
to hear. Yeah. So then what happened after maybe another 2 years or so?
Yeah. Now,
Was
when
there?
she had this liver problem, as I was doing all the research on this autoimmune condition, they did put down information to say that it puts you more at risk. You are at risk for other types of autoimmune disease. Once you get one, you may get it in the eye, or you may get joint inflammation, or you may get it in the gut. So I was like, okay, I hope this is not the case for me. And then, but by the time she was a primary three,
so
starting
maybe
a primary three, she began to have other symptoms, like going to the bathroom more frequently.
Oh,
urgency.
That's like diarrhea, is it?
Diarrhea. So her IBD symptoms is more to diarrhea.
Oh, so you mean
no blood.
But was she diagnosed at that time that she has inflammatory bowel disease?
No. So
okay.
At primary three, I did highlight to the doctor,
mm.
but they thought that it's just a normal diarrhea, lah. Because I
like
think
an
at the early
infection.
stages, yeah,
Okay.
they did not suspect it was IBD, lah.
Mm.
So I think early stages, IBD, the diarrhea symptom is quite similar to normal,
any
other
other
things.
infection that people
Yes.
have. Sometimes people have IBS And
Yeah.
there's diarrhea, and it just settles when things are kind of normal. Yeah. So that is what was suspected initially. So how, what happened later? Where, was there like a referral to an IBD specialist? Was there something that changed? How did she get the diagnosis?
Okay. At the hospital that we go to, the specialist that takes care of the liver illness is the same specialist that takes care of IBD cases as well.
Okay.
Right.
So did they do a colonoscopy after the diarrhea?
Right. So at first, the specialist did not suspect IBD, but he was suspicious when I told him that my daughter woke up in the night to go empty her bowel.
Okay.
Right.
And that
so after many months of on and off diarrhea, they recovered and then come back, recover and then diarrhea again. Then the final straw was when she started waking up in the night. So that's when the specialist ordered a scope for her.
So then she's still in primary three at that time.
Primary three. So end of primary three, then it was formally diagnosed lah.
Yeah. So it's around 9 or 10 years old by then. She is
primary three, yes.
Yeah, about 9 or 10 years old. Okay. So then when she's diagnosed, I'm just wondering what was going through, was she able to understand her diagnosis?
I think she can. She knows that she's sick.
Okay. And what's your response when the doctor tells you there is this autoimmune condition called inflammatory bowel disease that your daughter has?
A bit of a mixed feeling because moms do a lot of Google research and you kind of already suspect something is not right, but the doctor tell you, okay, it's okay, it's okay. And then now that I have this formal diagnosis, it was a little relief because I confirmed my suspicions. And now we can move forward and find a treatment lah. But then it was also quite discouraging that I got another autoimmune condition to deal with.
Yeah, because if I hear correctly, she first had the skin problem, like eczema kind of thing when she's a baby. And then she has the autoimmune hepatitis. And then comes the third one, and she's only 9 years old, 9 or 10 years old. Yeah. So it is a big thing for a parent. I'm a mother of three children also. And I'm like, my heart goes out to you as a parent. How do you deal with this? And of course, your husband also. How was he responding to the new diagnosis? If you could share a little bit.
He's always very calm. I think it's important to have the other parent being calm and steady. He's like my rock, you know?
Wow.
So while I'm very emotional and...
Yeah.
So he would, you know, hang on and hold the family together.
Wow.
I think and he by plays this, a very important role.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, having a spouse, and especially when it is a father and a child, especially a girl child, I think there's a special bond, you know. Fathers have this special thing for a sock corner for daughters, and then you. This is your first child, so naturally there will be something. Yeah, but he took it very calmly and was a steady. I think a steady rock, I would say, for the family.
Yes,
so that's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. And, okay, and. At this time, now that there's another diagnosis, was there again a change in her diet that you had to make any change?
Yes, I did some more research and all that. I came across this diet called the varied diets that people have tried. Some people just swear by it that it worked for them. So, okay, so I went on ahead to try it, like no carb diet or...
Okay, yeah.
And all that.
Yeah.
But it didn't work for her.
It didn't. Okay. So you tried for how long? Was it
so? The diets that I've tried this specific carbohydrate diet.
Yes.
That one didn't really work out for her. Then I tried some strange oatmeal diet that also didn't really work out for her. Then until I got to know a friend who's a dietitian.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to know her through another mutual friend. And then she introduced me to the FODMAP diet.
Okay.
So it was a diet that was very helpful for patients with IBD. Taken together with their medications and all that, it will help to reduce symptoms lah. So she walked me through the process. So that was excellent. And I think that really helped her.
Helped her. Okay.
Yeah.
So FODMAP, is that like an abbreviation of something?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Can you elaborate a little bit for the benefit of our listeners?
Okay.
Yeah.
So FODMAP, FODMAP, I think it's a diet to, how to say, reduces the, how do I put it in layman terms? There are certain food that the gut cannot consume because it contains all these complex sugars and is generating a lot of gas and symptoms and speed up the motility of the gut. So the when you rule out all these type of food, your gut is able to digest better.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah. So maybe if you can share certain examples, you know, let's say you had to avoid or eliminate certain food types, you know.
Okay.
If you can just specify a few things. Yeah.
Onions and garlic. So instead of, we don't flavor our food with onion and garlic anymore.
Okay.
Mm. Oatmeal was out of it. No nuts. The almond, you cannot eat too much of it.
Okay.
Then, and then we kept to a low fiber diet also, so it's easier on the gut because the gut is injured already, you see. So we want to reduce the stress on the gut lah.
Okay.
Watermelon juice also tends to make the gut move faster. So we want to reduce the number of trips to the bathroom. So and ease
stop
her digestion.
Taking, so stop taking watermelon also. That was
yes.
That was the thing. And it was working for her by
trying
all these. Yeah. Okay. That's
like
that's
onions and garlic tend to make you very gassy.
Oh. They are like so important when it comes to Asian food.
Yes.
In Asian diet, we use a lot of onions, garlic, ginger. But I suppose you could have continued, right? So wow, it's quite a lot of things for you to think through and then prepare, for the
family. For parents who are interested in this, they can look up the Monash University FODMAP app. So there's an app for it that guides you through it.
Okay. Wow.
What amount of food to eat.
Yeah, that's a very useful tip. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. yeah. So this is like she's in primary 3 at that time.
Yes, so primary and 4 would be the recovery period lah.
Okay. So she's and tell me a little bit about, you know, is she now beginning to grow and, you know, the height and weight? These are things that are a big concern when children get IBD, what's happening in her case?
Okay, her growth was already stunted due to the autoimmune hepatitis at the beginning because she was on a lot of steroids. She's 1 head shorter than all her peers. So when then she had this second diagnosis, it doesn't help the situation. Also, her growth was also stunted again. She was 1 head shorter than all her peers.
Was there anything like a supplement or, you know, was there something that the doctors recommended would help her? Is there anything like that?
The doctors mentioned that control of the disease is the key to helping her grow.
So basically,
once you control the inflammation, manage the disease well.
Okay. So compliance to the dosage, the medication that is prescribed by the doctors, make sure she takes all on time and the number of, let's say, tablets. If it's like 4 tablets, make sure you take 4 tablets. If it has to be taken twice a day, take twice a day kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Once the disease is well managed, the growth will come back naturally. So parents don't need to stress like, you can't force the growth.
So it will naturally happen once you take care of all the recommendations.
Yes.
Go for regular monitoring, go for the blood tests and whatever scans that are recommended. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how often does she have to go for, let's say, a colonoscopy?
She's been 2 times already, primary 3 one time, and then last year, sec 1, she went 1 time.
So that's like
13 years old and primary.
4 years. 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was no need to do any other kind of a scan, like CT scan or X-ray or MRI or anything like that?
No, not necessary.
Okay.
Regular blood tests and stool tests, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it like every 3 months or 4 months? What was the frequency of the blood tests?
I think now stable already. The blood test is maybe 5 to 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
When it's and not this... so stable, it will be 1 to 2 months lah.
Okay. Okay. So in the beginning, I would imagine she needed more often the blood tests to monitor.
Yes.
And that would also help in the doctor adjusting the dosage for
yes, yes.
her condition.
And see whether she's responding or not lah, to the medication.
Yes, yes. Okay. So currently she's on any kind of biologics or immunosuppressants or steroids? Because we all know about the pyramid, the medication pyramid. There's the remission drugs, then there's the steroids, and it could be immunosuppressants or biologics. So which kind of class of medication is she on?
She's on the oral mesalazine.
Okay.
Yeah,
That's all she needs. Wow, that's amazing.
Let me see. She also has an autoimmune hepatitis drug.
Yes.
So
yes.
That she's on the low dose prednisolone.
Okay.
The low dose on
that's a steroid.
5 milligram, yeah.
That's a steroid. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so because her condition is a bit complicated, so to manage the liver condition as well as the IBD. So it will be the medication will be her oral prednisolone, the low dose one, and then the ursodiol. Yeah, and then the oral mesalazine.
Yeah, okay, okay.
So all quite simple, all can be taken orally, no jabs, no nothing.
Nothing, yeah. Okay, that's very reassuring. And share with us that her diagnosis was ulcerative colitis.
Mm.
Yeah. So in her case, alongside with diarrhea, was there blood?
No, she don't have blood. Hers is just a lot of diarrhea and urgency, waking up in the night.
Okay. Yeah. Because what I hear from doctors is it could be a mild case, moderate, or severe, yeah? So in the mild case, we hear of a lot of diarrhea, whereas in the moderate case, it could be a little bit of blood, whereas moderate to severe can be a lot of blood along with diarrhea, yeah? So what I'm hearing is more like a mild case. So was it shared by the doctor that this is a case of ulcerative colitis, but it's mild?
The doctor didn't say it was mild. He put it as more towards the moderate, like, because the frequency of the diarrhea was like 8 to 10 times a day.
Wow.
And waking up in the night.
Wow.
Yeah. So that is definitely beyond mild.
Beyond mild. Okay.
But
so
you're
it's
not quite
just
severe. Yeah.
Not just the you know, like as a layperson, when we are looking at how many trips we are going to the toilet, or if we are looking at what else is coming out, you know, some people have a lot of mucus, some have blood. So it varies from person to person.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So when you're saying that, okay, if the number of diarrhea is also a lot, it can be then classified as moderate.
Yeah.
Or it could be number of diarrhea is a little bit lesser, but there's blood. Then that can also be moderate, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the urgency also lah.
Yeah, the urgency.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't hold back. Sometimes there are accidents. How was she in managing all this in the school? You know,
In school it was very stressful. The accident happened before, but thankfully she had a friend who was very supportive and called me lah.
Mm.
Yeah, she had friends who were very supportive lah.
Okay, so
and teachers were also very kind to her.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. They allow her to go to the bathroom now, as and when she needs to go. They won't question you.
Yeah, because they are aware she has the medical condition. So it's important for the teachers, the school system, to be aware of the child living with the condition. There is no benefit in hiding, and it's better to talk about it. And if the friends also know that what is it that she's going through, they can support her in the way your daughter was helped, isn't it? Yeah. So was there a need for her to wear a diaper to manage herself in school or at night maybe? Yeah.
No, I don't think the diaper helped because the urgency and the amount was quite a lot. So it leaks out, it makes a big mess anyway.
Oh.
Doesn't really help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then because by then I'm guessing that she's old enough to be able to respond, you know, when the urgency is even at night, she's able to get up and go to the toilet because
right.
Yeah,
but accidents still happen. Sometimes cannot make it in time.
But then in the school, I hear from some other patients that sometimes the teacher would say the student who's living with, let's say, ulcerative colitis or with Crohn's disease can sit closer to the door.
Yes.
Easier to go to the toilet. Yeah.
Yes.
Was
and
it in...
exam time also during the national exams like PSLE, you can ask for special permission.
The
that,
board exams.
Yeah.
The board
then they
exams.
Will extend your timing also for your.
That's very kind of.
Yes. So they won't penalize you because you've gone to the bathroom and they know that you have this condition.
Okay. So that's very, very supportive for her. How about when it comes to sports and games and other activities? Was she able to manage or was she going through a lot of fatigue?
She was definitely very tired with sports and even going to school was very tiring. She can't make it to school on time because in the whole night she doesn't sleep through the night. But as and whenever she's well enough to do things like cycling, going for walks, going rock climbing, we'll take her.
So by then, does she have siblings? I think she's
by
the first
that,
child.
Yes. By that age, she would have three younger siblings already.
Okay.
Yes.
And they are aware of her condition.
They are aware that the older sister is not well, but they don't know the details.
Yeah, they're too young, right?
Yeah.
They would be very young to understand the whole extent. But as a parent, what kind of challenge do you face when you're feeding? You have four children at the dining table. Do you prepare separate food for her or everyone's taking this kind of a diet?
We had to prepare separate food for her because when the symptoms is very severe, her food will be definitely much more bland. Right. I cannot expect the others to eat the same food.
Yes.
Right. And so she would feel quite left out. But she's quite strong. She bears with it.
Yeah.
I think that's something that the illness brought out in her. Patience and perseverance.
Oh, fantastic. So nice to hear that. And I hear from other parents too that children seem to be more resilient than adults. Yeah. They realize that this is happening and then, okay, let's move on. Let's do what's the right thing to do. And that's it. You know, they are able to cope better. Yeah. Whereas as parents, I mean, I am a mother and I also have Crohn's disease. I just feel that managing my own self is relatively easier as opposed to if one of my children had the condition. I think I'd be a little more stressed out. My heart really goes out to you and your husband dealing with one child that has IBD and the others are doing fine. I mean, if it comes to parenting, there would definitely be a greater need for you to spend time with the firstborn, so how do you deal with this, that there are other children and you cannot ignore them, is it? How do you
I think that's where the grandparents and uncles and aunties came in to help extended family
extended
and
family.
Members. Yeah, they played with the other kids a lot and make sure that they are attended to.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
Especially during medical appointments, sometimes can take many, many hours. Yeah, and then there's nobody at home.
Yeah, this is where the point that we sometimes discuss is when there's a chronic illness, a patient in the family is not living alone. The patient and in fact, the entire family gets affected. The caregivers, be it the parents, the siblings, the person who's the primary caregiver is going through a lot, not just the patient that is going through. So this brings in that key point that you have brought out, that extended family members also can pitch in and help out. And it is so significant. Because if I'm imagining you're living in another country where distances are so huge, it becomes a bigger burden, bigger challenge for the family to cope. Yeah. So hats off to the family. And I think a note of gratitude for your extended family to help you out in this case. As the children are growing up, because once they are grown up and then they are on their own feet, You know, by the time she's 18, she will be she'll be transitioning to an adult clinic,
Yes,
be
yes.
managing by herself. Yeah. So at this moment, she is like, how old is she now?
14 now.
14. Yeah. So another 4 years, and then, she'll be on her own. It's a different phase of life, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And an
So,
assurance to parents, her physical growth. Now she's 14 years old. She's already almost as tall as me already. Yeah,
wow.
just to give some hope to other
Yes.
parents who are facing this. As long as your disease is managed, you feed her well, make sure that she sleeps well, eats well, the growth will catch up lah.
Awesome. And as she's growing up, is she able to speak about her illness with the other friends? Because now she's moved from primary school to secondary school, and in this school there are new set of friends. Is she comfortable talking about the illness?
No, she doesn't talk to her friends about this at all.
Oh.
I think they don't understand her also. They don't understand the complexity of it. Yeah, but so far she has attended all the school activities with camps. She takes a medication. I mean, the friends just don't understand also. They cannot.
Yeah, so she just takes her medicines. Other than that, her symptoms are pretty much under control, so
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
almost like any other kid. Yeah.
Yes. So they don't
Okay.
understand.
They don't
Yeah.
understand. Wow.
But the disease has helped her to appreciate even normal things in life, like eating. You know,
Wow.
teenagers are usually are very concerned about eating. I don't want to get fat, always dieting. And then she's like, "Why are you doing that? Eat, you can eat."
Yeah, but then she would also be promoting healthy eating, not fast
Yeah,
food.
that's right.
And her friends would see what she's saying and why she's saying that. So, but it's good to create awareness around this issue because different people are getting diagnosed at different ages, some as young children, whereas some as young adults or even seniors get diagnosed with the illness. So, if she can use certain materials, I think that will be helpful because maybe a small note for her that sharing about or educating about this illness is helpful because in case somebody in their family gets diagnosed, they will know what it's about. Like all of us, when we got diagnosed, we didn't know about this illness, never heard about Crohn's disease in our family, never heard about ulcerative colitis. If we compare it to, let's say, diabetes or arthritis, everyone knows someone that has the conditions, Whereas the illnesses we are talking about inflammatory bowel disease. And the minute we say IBD, everyone is like, what is
What's that?
that? So that's where I'm coming from, that even though we have gone into remission, it's good, it's fantastic. But just talk about it so that others are aware. It doesn't come as a surprise. It doesn't, I'm not saying that it might happen to the friends, but who knows? There might be someone in their circle who might get diagnosed because more and more people across Asia are getting diagnosed with this illness. Yeah. In Singapore alone, there are 3,000 patients.
Oh
And
dear.
yeah, 10 to 15% are children. And when we say children, it's below 18 years of age that we are talking about. So the more awareness there is, the better acceptance of the diagnosis, and then doing the right thing. Then she is an example that, hey, although I got diagnosed with one, two, three different things, but I took all the medicines and I managed my diet. Mom did a fantastic job doing, the food part of it, and also the father being a rock in the family,
Yes.
stabilizing the emotions, managing the stress, everything. So she has a very privileged position to share this journey, which brings hope to a lot of people. So that is something for her to think and process. And if she's comfortable, then she can be talking and it'll help a lot of other people. Yeah, just a point to make. But going forward, I think I would be curious to hear from you that what's your hope? What's your dream going forward?
for her, definitely that she'll continue to be stable in her health physically, and then my prayers and hope for her that she will bless others lah with the whatever blessings that she has been receiving lah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So beautiful. So beautiful.
It should be an encouragement to others, especially when they face very difficult trials in life, to give them hope. Yeah.
Another thing that comes to my mind before we wrap up is there any lesson you have learned along the way that you could share with another parent who might be seeing a child who's unwell or might be having a little bit of symptoms, not sure? Is there anything that you would like to, you know, convey to other parents?
I would say that don't give up hope. Just maintain course and be as encouraging as you can to the child, and you can overcome this together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a very beautiful message for other parents. And thank you so much, Bhima, for sharing this journey of your child. And we hope all the very best, all her dreams come true, her aspirations, and your family's aspirations for her. They are, yeah, they are there to bless her and take her through this. I mean, it's not just this one illness that we are talking about. We are not just talking about ulcerative colitis. We are talking about 2-3 conditions that she was diagnosed with. But she's an amazing, resilient girl. And we wish all the best to her. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
We hope you found today's conversation useful, and we look forward to you joining us in the next episode. For more information about joining the patient support group, please contact the Crohn's and Colitis Society of Singapore. You can reach us via email at admin@ibd.org.sg or WhatsApp at +65 9756 4066. Do visit our website www.ibd.org.sg to know more about our annual seminar, financial assistance schemes, and how you could join us as a member, meet other patients, as well as parents of children living with IBD. This educational and public awareness project is kindly supported by the National Youth Council, Singapore.